Okay, I'm back on. Are we ready to go?
We are, Chair Kelly, ready to proceed.
Okie doke. The next item is an update on the Bureau of Land Management West Oregon Operating Plan. I believe Mike Shaw and Ron Graham are going to be with us here, and Mike is going to lead us off. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Good afternoon, Chair Kelly, State Forester Mukamoto, members of the board. For the record, my name is Mike Shaw, and I serve as the Chief of Fire Protection for the department. I'm joined today by Deputy Chief of Fire Operations, Ron Graham. We're in front of you this afternoon with an informational item. The Oregon Department of Forestry currently provides fire protection on approximately 2.3 million acres of Oregon and California railroad lands in Western Oregon, managed by the Bureau of Land Management. The BLM has expressed concerns over the years regarding the rising base protection costs and the increased costs they have been paying for extra fire costs. The BLM has stated in writing an interest in inclusion back into the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund and other potential cost reduction efforts. We are here in front of the board today to bring awareness of the risks, provide facts related to our understanding of the BLM's position and implications for ODF, discuss a timely strategy for addressing the challenge, and agree on the communication and sequencing of the path forward to discuss future Board of Forestry engagement. Ron?
Thanks, Mike. Good afternoon, Chair Kelly, members of the board, State Forester Mukamoto. For the record, I'm Ron Graham. I serve as the Deputy Chief of Operations for the Fire Protection Division at ODF. Wanted to give you a little bit more background, as is provided in your board packet in the staff report. These ONC lands have been under some sort of contractual protection, basically through the state of Oregon for over a century. Initially, when these lands were administered by the U.S. Forest Service, some of these lands were under contractual protection through the Oregon Forest Fire Association, at some points with the Board of Forestry itself, and then initially through contracts with the Oregon Department of Forestry. So again, a long history of this protection over the lands. In 1937, when the ONC Land Administration was created, and then later in 38, those lands were transferred from the Department of Agriculture over to the Department of Interior for the administration of them. Again, with the Interior Department acting through the Bureau of Land Management, we entered into a contract with them, originally again through the Oregon Forest Fire Association to protect those lands, as well as the intermixed public domain lands. We commonly refer to them now just as the ONC lands, but it truly is an intermix of both of those lands. 1952, there was a decision by the Bureau of Land Management for the protection of these BLM lands that was turned over to the State Board of Forestry, as I mentioned, through one of those agreements over the years. In 1988, the agreement was changed to a contract, and we've had various mechanisms over the century plus. So in 88, it became a contract with a provision of a renewal at five-year intervals. In 1991, the first contract was revised following a series of meetings between officials of the BLM and ODF. The final contract, which was a five-year contract, ended on June 30th of 2018. Just prior to that, or around the same time, the Emergency Fire Cost Committee conducted a study looking at what costs were attributed to fires on BLM lands. As a result of that study, the EFCC decided that the BLM would no longer be eligible for funding through the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund for extra fire costs. They did this through a 10-year look back, at which time BLM costs accounted for approximately $10 million per year, or about 36% of ODF's net emergency or extra fire costs. Since 2018, in the removal from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund, as Chief Mike Shaw alluded to, the BLM has been now paying the actual cost for base protection, as well as their emergency or extra fire costs as required in the current agreement. When the last contract ended around the end of June in 2018, we entered into a one-year bridge agreement with the Bureau of Land Management. It was called the Western Oregon Suppression Agreement, and that changed the policies in the requirements of the contract that the BLM paid base protection on actual costs, and then they also paid the extra fire costs. And 2018 was a significant fire year. So BLM had significant fire costs for suppression for the first time on the ONC lands. And BLM paid those costs in full. We had some negotiations back and forth on the base fire protection costs, but again, it was paid in full. And then that was a one-year agreement, as I mentioned. So that agreement expired on June 30th of 2019. July 1, 2019, we entered into a five-year operating plan with the Bureau of Land Management for fire suppression protection on the Western Oregon ONC lands. It was called the Western Oregon Operating Plan. Throughout this time, really since the end of the initial contract and even before, the BLM has expressed again and again that they're not able to pay the full preparedness cost, and our rising preparedness costs were of great concern to them. The BLM uses a different modeling process than we do to determine our adequate level of protection. Their modeling process, in short, is based more on their fuel types of the rest of the lands the Bureau administers across the country. And it places a lot of emphasis on the actual numbers of fires versus the emphasis on the acres protected, as our system does. In July of 2020, the BLM, as a result of this rising cost and their difficulty to pay the cost, removed approximately 55,000 acres from ODF protection in the Klamath Lake District. So this resulted in a reduction in our ODF budget for that district for fire protection revenues by approximately 195,000. At that time, we had a interagency cost reduction work group in place that was made up of BLM representation from their state office and field, as well as Oregon Department of Forestry and Coos Forest Protective Association, as well as Douglas Forest Protective Association staff, that were looking at ways to identify a mechanism to lower the BLM preparedness cost or the base fire protection cost. That work group was not successful at that time in coming up with any mechanism to just lower the cost. Since that time, ODF has been working with several partners, and this is included in the attachment in your staff report, working with our congressional delegation, private landowners, Intertribal Timber Council, the governor's office, to raise awareness, inform all of them of the situation, and help encourage adequate federal funding for the base level fire preparedness and initial suppression costs in the ONC lands. In 2020, as a result of our annual review of the Western Oregon Operating Plan, the BLM proposed new language in the operating plan that would have gone into effect the next fiscal year. ODF and the associations did not sign the proposed changes to that operating plan as a result of that after-action review. Our department and the associations, we certainly understand the BLM's concern around their budget authorities and their challenges on how and where they get their funding, basically between preparedness costs and suppression costs. However, the BLM has made it very clear they will continue to reduce costs to align with their budget authority. The BLM leadership has stated that they value the partnership with State of Oregon, RDF, and the associations, as do we, and has clearly communicated that they're planning on their own alternative if ODF does not provide a long-term durable solution that reduces their costs to align with their budget authority and their modeling. So again, since 2020, the BLM has actively been seeking inclusion of efficiencies into the Western Oregon Operating Plan that they claim are requirements for the BLM and must be included in any agreement going forward with the Oregon Department of Forestry. They've asked for financial accountability and oversight of our budgets, up and including to approving our budget by the BLM State Director before the Board of Forestry approves them. In writing, we offered back that our process allows for participation in the Forest Protective Association meetings and the fiscal budget development process, and BLM is welcome, like any other landowner, to participate in that process. The BLM was requiring the use of the Interagency Fire Occurrence Reporting Module, or INFORM, as an industry standard. It's a fairly new fire reporting process. The drawback for ODF is it does not include all of the information that ODF requires in fire reporting to do our cost recovery process. So we've been currently working to get approval, all the authorities and all the training in place to utilize the informed system. We actually use it after the fact now at the end of the fire season and send all of our detailed fire reporting information through it. We just aren't currently using it real time, which is what we're working on next, is to move to real-time use of inform. So essentially, once a fire starts and our dispatchers start tracking that fire, it feeds into the inform system. They've also required the use of Wildcat, a dispatching system, a computer-aided dispatching system, once again, as a claim as an industry standard. We're currently pursuing the use of Wildcat, and we have recently learned in the last couple of weeks that the new Wildcat E, more of a web-based system that's coming out, would have the ability for ODF to use it as an option, perhaps as early as 2023. We're also exploring another computer-aided dispatch system that the Douglas Forest Protective Association has been piloting as well, that we also believe will achieve the same results. This other system has some newer advancements and enhancements that might be more useful for us and more efficient for us as well. So we're currently looking at both of those systems, but fully intend to move forward with one of the systems. The BLM asks also that we adopt standardized use of complexing of fires. So when they have multiple fire starts, say out of a lightning bust and we have seven fires that start, we typically group those all into one complex and approach them with one complex name. And the BLM has different standards for complexing of incidents, and we agreed last fire season to implement those, and we'll continue to refine that implementation process to meet their standards. And then I think last but not least, as far as operationally, the BLM asked that we consider the development of interagency or co-located dispatch centers. And again, that's something that we are actively looking into, researching on it, would it really provide cost saving and efficiencies? And does it solely mean that ODF staff co-locate into one of the current interagency federal dispatch centers that exist in Western Oregon? Or perhaps would there be an option for BLM staff to co-locate in one of our ODF dispatch centers to meet that request? Furthermore, the BLM has stated in writing that they do remain committed to moving forward with ODF in the pursuit of a concept that would allow access back into the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund, as Chief Shaw mentioned. They're looking at also contributing to our severity program as perhaps an offset that would reduce their base fire costs. And the BLM would like to see ultimately inclusion back into the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund up to the $20 million cap. So that's up to the point where the state general fund and landowner funds each kick in dollar for dollar that first $20 million. Any BLM fire extra fire cost after the $20 million cap was reached, BLM would then be paying for those as well. As part of the ongoing conversations and negotiations, BLM has also identified that they have other costs for fire suppression and preparedness within the Pacific Northwest region, so Washington and Oregon. And ultimately, they would like us to take a look at those costs to see if there's an opportunity to reduce their overall cost in the Western Oregon operating plan, similar to the private landowners with the in-kind study that's been conducted that ultimately gives credits back for some of the services provided. And some of the notable things it provides is the general fund picking up the admin prorate portion for private landowners. Certainly, we value the contributions that the BLM makes to our system and to the national system, and it will certainly take more work and research to study, you know, the value of their contributions and see how we value them as far as dollar amounts. Additionally, the BLM requested that they would like to see ODF continue to explore other options that would lead to an overall cost reduction in the Western Oregon operating plan for the BLM. Included but not limited to ODF's acknowledgement of BLM's contribution in the state of Oregon's complete and coordinated system. These in-kind offsets would need to be considered in any plan moving forward per the BLM request. The Oregon Department of Forestry, the operating associations at CFPA and DFPA, Emergency Fire Cost Committee, and private landowners through OFIC have been developing concepts to restructure the next operating plan and identifying the impacts. The impacts that would currently exist if an operating plan can't be restructured is private and public landowners in general fund would ultimately pay more for the same level of protection in Western Oregon, or we would have to reduce the level of protection, reduced resources to meet the BLM's reduced acres protected and base acres protection costs. So what that means is if the BLM were to remove more acres of protection out of the system, as they did in Klamath Lake, we would have that decision to make, keep the current resources and distribute those costs to others, or reduce the resources that we have to meet that reduction. If the BLM chose to remove all of the acres, the 2.3 million acres that Chief Shaw referenced from Oregon's protection system, currently it results in about a 10.5 million gap in the adequate level of protection and funding, which includes a reduction in our 1.3 million agency administrative prorate costs that I referenced earlier. Operationally, this reduction would equate to the loss of the following resources on the west side if we chose to meet the level of revenue based on the reduced BLM acres to protect. It would reduce our resources by 34 engines, 125 firefighters, 23 fireline leadership positions, 5 wildland fire supervisors, 4 unit supervisors, 18 dispatchers, 4 helicopters, and a fixed wing aircraft. So a significant reduction if we were to reduce our resources commensurate with the BLM reduction in revenue. The BLM has stated that their priority is to continue working with ODF. However, they've stated if they're unable to reach an agreement with ODF on the mechanisms for reducing costs incurred by the BLM and others, to include executing financial oversight of the Western Oregon Operating Plan, the BLM will be left with no other alternative but reduce costs on its own through acres reduction. Currently, as I mentioned earlier, the associations, ODF, EFCC, and OFIC have been working on alternate concepts to restructure the next agreement, whatever that might be, that reduce the base cost for the BLM, authorizes extra fire costs through the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund, but reduces the increased financial risk to private, public, and general fund. So we're looking at some options where perhaps the BLM could contribute to our system, such as the severity program, as they mentioned, and alternatives to considering their in-kind contributions that would ultimately, hopefully, minimize the increased financial risk. I'll close with the fact that currently to date, the BLM is currently paid up on all of their base fire protection costs, and we are working through the billings for the 2021 fire season for extra fire costs. And so far, previous years have been paid in full as well. With that, I would close, and either Mike or I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay, Carla.
So living in a production business right now, natural resource business, this is the only conversation I've observed where people are expecting lower costs when we're sitting here in a 40-year high on inflationary pressures. And everything we're touching in natural resources, from diesel, gasoline, wages, equipment, heavy equipment, aircraft, everything is going up. We're seeing anywhere from a 25% on the low end to a 300% increase on the highest end if you look at our top 10 costs. So it's hard for me, you know, we serving a lot of customers. This is such an unbelievably unique conversation in the inflationary times that we're in. We wouldn't be having this conversation with the customer because it's just not practical. Our cost pressures are just too great. So other than, you know, sitting here having a discussion on lowering costs, which I just can't fathom as practical, what other options Maybe, you know, you can educate me later, but what other creative options are there that we need to consider here?
Board Member Chambers, I would attempt to answer, and perhaps Mike, Chief Shah, will join in too. We are developing options, and it's really hard to come up with too many creative options given our current financial makeup. So basically, you know, as I mentioned, if we recognized in-kind services, somebody else still has to pick up those costs. And historically, like with the private landowners and the in-kind services, that has been picked up by the general fund. Right now, currently, you know, the BLM doesn't have a sufficient amount of resources that, you know, they can add into the system and be additive that way. So I think, you know, one of the most creative things so far has been, you know, the BLM expressing desire to look at including funding into our severity program as a new line item and funding, and then kind of taking that credit to reduce their base level protection costs. That's been one of the newer kind of fairly innovative, where ultimately it doesn't impact our base costs. It shifts their funding and their ability to pull in funds through their severity program, as well as their preparedness and suppression dollars that they pull in.
Yeah, I think that's probably the level of discussion we need to get to on, do they buy some of this equipment, you know, outright? I mean, you can't even order some of this stuff today, because if we ordered a semi today, they wouldn't even take our order because we're not a fleet, unless we were ordering a fleet. You know, when I was down on that Skyline fire, we had put in an order for 35 heavy equipment operators and we got 12. Well, there's just a severe shortage of truck drivers, and none of those wages are going down. Everything you touch, you know, we don't fly helicopters down here, but there's a lot of similarities in the natural resource world. And these costs are just escalating at rates that none of us have seen in our management careers. So I think that this is not a real practical conversation in light of the business environment we're living in, or the cost of this equipment, or the cost of firefighters, or anyway, I think we kind of need to step back from this and say, what other budget modeling options do they have? The other point I would make is it's not practical. We have a fiduciary duty as board members on the oversight of this agency. We have a fiduciary role. We're appointed by the Senate. Having BLM oversight between us and the board, looking over and approving our budgets, that's just a no-go from a fiduciary point of view. Anyway, those are my comments.
Yes, Board Member Liz.
Hey, I found my hand. So Ron, I adjust the same kind of this piece, kind of nibbling around the edges and trying to find some options. Is there one big cost center that we could look at that would get us most of the way there? Maybe no matter how painful, that would be just an opening, you know, look. And I'm just thinking, you know, the big cost for, you know, when we talk about fire is aviation. Is there something there we can, you know, look at options around? You know, because as Carla said, I mean, just ordering all these other things is, you know, you don't even get them, but I'm sure you've looked at that, you know, but that is far and away the biggest costs around wildfire.
I would certainly agree. Those costs are the big drivers. And I think, again, that's where the severity program funding, getting some additional funds, where we have the ability to procure those local resources and additional resources that we have. The struggle always with the aviation resources through our federal partners is they're managed nationally and they get prioritized nationally. So that means even though we might have a lot of fire activity, they might not be available to us. However, as was the case in 2020, the BLM provided an extra $250,000 directly to the Oregon Department of Forestry to procure extra contractual aviation resources and ground resources. And that worked very well because, again, they were confined to the national system and the national priority and movement of resources, where we could independently procure resources outside of that system.
Mm-hmm. Ben.
Yeah, thank you, Ben Dormling, for the record. In the board packet, there's a letter from a portion of our congressional delegation from 2020, and we about this subject. And we had Congressman Blumenauer on this morning saying, "How can I help?" And I think you probably are in conversations with our congressional delegation, but this seems like a classic place for them to fix this. And our hands are tied. It sounds like the local BLM folks' hands are fairly tied also. If there's ways we can help support that effort in Washington, D.C., I would love to hear that, because it seems like that's where this needs to be fixed. And I think all of our resources collectively as a state should be focused on that, to figure out how to get that bill paid. Unless I'm missing something, it seems like that's where we would really focus most of our efforts.
So Ben, I think, as you look through all that record, there has been, attempts that have not borne fruit, really, by all of our federal delegation and the governor. I'm going to say some things that are not really suggesting a solution, but I think that they just need to be on the record, kind of like Carla was saying. This is somewhat surreal here, because here we've got somebody who's trying to cut their costs in this inflationary environment. Not just an inflationary environment, we have our new fire reality that is completely different from what we were dealing with 10 and 20 years ago. So it seems to be kind of an extraordinary position. And I tried to understand this, and the best I can do is that I do understand. When I look out our window at the ranch, I'm looking at a lot of rangeland scrub brush, and I'm looking at some BLM land, and that is kind of typical of BLM. They are usually low value lands, and it seems to be quite exceptional for the BLM to be actually managing federal lands that are high value forests. Most of those are held by the Forest Service, so I could kind of understand from a being kind of counter perspective of them sort of looking at this and why should we be paying so much. But this is a high value asset, and so I say all of that just because I think it needs to be on the record, not because I see the solution here. But I do agree. Ben, whatever we can do to continue some pressure on the with the federal delegation, because we don't seem to be getting anywhere with our local BLM folks. I'm sure everybody wants to find a solution here, but this it's been pretty elusive. Any other comments,
Chair Kelly? For the record, Mike Shaw. Just wanted to say thanks for all the comments. And, Ron, correct me if I'm wrong here. This is somewhat new to me. This in the last few months, but this has been a challenging issue for several years. And I'm going to put myself in the space of the BLM just a little bit and maybe provide us just a piece of context as to where they could be coming from. We hear it from all landowners across Oregon, the rising cost of fire protection at the base budget level. That's not unique to BLM. And we continually see that at the district level in our district budgeting process. And the BLM is not unique to that. And all landowners, to Carla's point, that's a very real challenge that landowners are facing. On top of the notion that a few years ago the BLM was removed from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. And so uniquely for them, it feels as if they, as a landowner, were singled out and not treated in the same manner as other landowners. And so their costs in their mind, as, and I'm putting words in their mouth a little bit, so bear with me, as I understand it in a most recent meeting with them, that their costs have gone up disproportionately, not only at the base funding level, but also at the large fire funding level. And so if we want to peel back the layers a little bit, that's the approach that they're coming with. Not saying it's right, but that's, I can understand the approach from them. And I think you folks have given us really good feedback, and I appreciate that. And we continue to look for ways to work with the BLM and continue to provide the funding and the protection necessary on those lands. And I think the approach that was highlighted using the congressional delegation probably has some real merit. So appreciate the time and opportunity today.
Okay, with that, not seeing any other hands up, we will move from this. Thank you very much, both Mike and Ron, for that presentation. And we'll move to the next item.